right. Thank you very much, ladies. Let's take our Bibles. We'll turn to the book of Luke, chapter 2. Luke, chapter 2. And we are not going to be dealing with a subject that is directly related with the passion of Christ tonight. We're going to continue the idea of parenting, this idea that we need to train our children for the glory of God. Last Sunday night, I had several conversations after the evening service, after that opening message that kind of set some, I trust, expectations and all for the concept of biblical instruction on parenting. One person said to me they really were thankful for the message because they said that the very night before they had spent some extra time praying, and they're specifically praying about children in the home, and they're specifically praying that somehow God would bring to them some help. They said we weren't sure exactly what to look for. This was the gentleman speaking to me. But he said he really had a burden. And he said, I believe that the sermon and the series is a direct answer to that prayer. The conversation went beyond, and he actually said that one of the reasons he is very burdened is this. He said, I know some people who are very, very godly, but their children are not. And I said to him, that's because godliness is not enough. And I really had his attention. I said, godliness is not enough to effectively parent. And I said, godliness is essential, but it's not enough. And that's true. For example, as I explained, if you need a good car mechanic, and all things are equal, you would, I think, prefer to have a godly car mechanic. But if you have to choose with a mechanic to have a poor mechanic who is godly or an excellent mechanic who is ungodly, which do you want? Godliness is simply not enough to make a person a good mechanic. There are certain skills, certain things that need to be learned. That's true in every area of life, whether it's an accountant or a lawyer or a doctor. Go to a surgeon because he has good medical credentials or because he has good spiritual credentials? Now, if you have the choice, you want both. And listen, to be a Christian and to influence our children for the glory of God, we must be godly. But that is not enough. There are skills. There are certain things that we need to know. We will either know them and apply them effectively, or we won't, and we will fail. So there are a variety of things that we can learn. Luke chapter 2 is an interesting place to look because this is the life of Jesus. We have very, very, very little about Jesus in his growing up years. We know that he was somewhere around 30 in his public ministry when it began. We also know several different accounts about his birth. And Luke chapter 2 gives us a little more, not a lot, but we see in Luke 2 not just his birth, but we also see when he was circumcised at 8 days and the whole incident with his mother, with father, stepdad, Joseph, with Simeon, with Anna. But then there's an interesting passage here beginning at verse 41, and we'd like to read that. If you could, back up please to verse 40, and then I'll read down through the end of the chapter. Luke 2:40 says, and the child, that's Jesus, grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the Feast of the Passover. We don't know anything about any other year. We know an incident that happened one of those years. It was when he was 12. Verse 42 recounts it for us. When he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. When they had fulfilled their days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. Now, we could just pause there and indicate that there is no reason for us to look at this as being some kind of reprobate parents. We have had parents actually leave. Have you ever done this? Have you ever left your children at church when you went home? You probably never did if you always come in one car. Janice and I, when we were in Maryland, we used to take 2 cars to church, and it happened to us. and It's really not funny. It's kind of embarrassing, but it's kind of funny to look back on. This was not getting into a, well, I'm not sure how they traveled, but this would have been a group. You know, it's not necessarily irresponsible, and if you follow the context of what it says here about the Lord Jesus, it's clear that though he was 12 years old, he was extremely responsible and extremely accountable, far beyond what you might think of a normal 12-year-old. He was taking care of himself, if we could put it that way, at least in a measure. So if we could just kind of put that in that context, they, according to verse 44, they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey. They sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance, this large group of folks that were there. They couldn't find him. When they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, now ponder this, what did he eat for 3 days? Where did he sleep for those 3 days? How did he take care of himself? We have no light on that. We have no knowledge. Scripture just is remarkably silent about some very extraordinary considerations. Why? Because we don't need to know them. Because he's not, God never gives us his word to satisfy our curiosity or to answer our questions. In fact, God gives us much in Scripture in order to provoke us to questions. God gives his word for one reason only, and that is to reveal himself. So he does, and he does it very effectively. It came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple. Notice, 12 years old, sitting in the midst of the doctors, not medical doctors, these are spiritual doctors, doctors of the law of God, very astute, very credentialed, very educated, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. 12 years old. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee, sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Did ye know, wist ye not, that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. They did not at that point grasp when he said about my father's business, he was not talking about Joseph. Though verse 43 makes it clear that Joseph was yet alive. He was talking about his heavenly father. Verse 50, they understood not that the saying which he spake unto them, and he went down with them, notice, and came to Nazareth, and was subject unto them. Now, those few words, was subject unto them, given the context of his deity, given the context of 12 years old, given the 3 days alone, given the idea that he was in the midst of the doctors, both learning from them, listening to them, and answering them, and that everybody was astonished and marveling at what they were hearing from his mouth, his understanding of Scripture, and how it all came together, of course, obviously, because he's the author, so of course he knew. He went down with them, came to Nazareth, and was subject unto them. Interestingly, the Scripture says, but his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. Verse 52, and the Bible says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. I wanted to read that much just to establish this idea that Jesus was developing. He was just 12. And yet from that point on, and I think evidently before that, he was, according to verse 52, increasing. Or we might use the word growing. Or we might use the word maturing. Or he might use the word developing. But the point is that Jesus was not stagnant. Jesus was not, I'll use a word here that is a very recent word in the English language, relatively recent, but it's a very popular, very prevalent word today. Young people love to use this word. And when people use this word, they like to use it as a wedge and as a tool. Somehow they will say this word, and when they say this word, in some families, don't let this be like this in your family, but in some families, when children say this word to their parents, the implication is you do something about it. Can any of you guess what the word is? I'm bored. And in our culture today, there are many children that will say, I'm bored, and the implication is you do something about it, Mom or Dad. Train your children early on that they do not have to be dependent upon toys or anything else to be other than bored. Train them to have an imagination. Train them to be creative. Train them to think. Train them to enter into things. Don't let your children learn, and I'm kind of off subject in a way, but don't let your children, don't train them to believe that life is about stimulation, and life is about fascination, and life is about, you know, entertainment and amusement. Don't allow your children to develop an early habituated dependence upon something outside themselves other than God. Don't teach them that they have to have the earbuds. That probably wouldn't happen at a real young age, but it would in some. Don't teach them that they have to have something like that. Don't teach them that they have to have a television or a computer or anything else. Teach them that they are made in the image of Almighty God. Teach them the awe of life. Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Jesus increased, he grew, he developed, and I would propose to you that since Jesus Christ developed, you and I need to develop. And if you and I as parents are not growing, are not developing, are not increasing, are not going to a higher level, we teach our children sometimes that life is boring. Children are marvelous imitators. They see you read, they're going to want to read. They see you watching the television, that's what they're going to do. You know, and I'm not trashing the television. Well, maybe I am, but that's not really the point. But let's establish that Jesus here is demonstrating to us how life works best. He is sinless. He's infinitely wise. He is deity. And yet, even with Jesus, there is this idea that he's increasing in wisdom and stature and favor with God and favor with men. Now, you might back up and you might say, well, no, wait a second. We've studied a lot about Jesus. We've studied about the Trinity. We've studied the fact that he is God and he's man. So, you know, you might say, okay, Pastor, so explain to me, how can Jesus be God, deity, and be omniscient, know everything? How can he, on the other hand, be man and therefore increase in wisdom? How can that be? Can I clearly say this? I can't figure that out. I'm telling you what the Bible says. That's one of those areas where God does not give us this so that we can somehow think with these puny minds that we can kind of put him in a box and have him all figured out. No, he's the transcendent God. The issue is not how can one person be deity and man? How can that be? That's not the issue. The issue is, will you put faith in God that he's bigger than you are, say? So, nevertheless, if we when we look at these four issues in verse 52, there are four specific areas that are mentioned the Holy Spirit has given to us. So if we just stop and we think, okay, Jesus increased in wisdom, stature, favor with God, favor with man. I want to use this text to try not so much in the text, and we'll probably come back to this in the next weeks, but not so much to do a study of specific scriptures, although we will some, but more a matter of just taking this verse and really pondering this, really thinking about this, thinking about how it should impact us first. The parent that wants to influence his children, who resists being influenced by God, is a parent who is a fool. The parent who, let me say it again, who wants to have influence on his children, who is resisting the influence of God in his own life, is a fool. He is saying no to God. And when a parent says no to God, he is teaching his children to say no to him. They're imitators. They just simply do what they watch. That's the way God made it. Now, that's a double-edged sword. It goes both ways. It goes negative and it goes positive. But it's very simple. If your children grow up in a home where they hear you singing all the time, they'll sing. If your children grow up in a home where they pray, they'll pray. If your children grow up in a home where you exercise, they will. If your children grow up in a home where you wake up in the morning and you, well, I don't want to get into, I was going to say drink Coca-Cola, but there's nothing wrong with drinking Coca-Cola in the morning, I guess, if you want to do that. But whatever, our children learn most by watching, observing, and then imitating. And that's true for all of us. And it's true for all of life. See? So when we recognize that, And we take these four things and we say, wow, okay, so here's some areas where Jesus increased. Wisdom, stature, favor with God, favor with man. Four areas of development. And I would encourage you that these areas need to be balanced. And when I say balanced, I'm not saying that we need to be careful that we don't emphasize one to the exclusion of the other. What I'm saying is we need to make sure we emphasize all of them. I'm not saying 25% of this and 25% of this, 25% of this, 25% of this. What I'm saying is we need to emphasize all four of these to the highest possible level. Think about a table with four legs. One of them is shorter. What happens? Well, if you have a table and there are four legs and one of them is shorter, it's unsteady. It's imbalanced. It's not going to be stable. It's not going to be secure. And that's what happens to our children. And we need to understand that in these four areas, if there's one of these areas that is weak, that's exactly where Satan's going. He's going to go after them. So we need to really understand these things and really mentor our children in balancing development and growing. Now, let's take these areas apart if we can. First of all, you have this word wisdom. You just have all of this. I think you have this written out. Wisdom, stature, favor with God, favor with man. Wisdom, this is not at all unique with me. I first heard this at the Wilds, but there's been many that have used this. But wisdom is this idea of the mind, mental development, mental disciplines. And I'd like to talk about that a little bit. And then stature is the physical. Favor with God, spiritual. Favor with man, social. When we go back to wisdom and we talk about mental development and disciplines, everybody understands that children need to learn. To turn off their cell phone. No, sorry. But yeah, this idea of mental development. But think about it with me. If your children were exactly like you, how much would they have an interest in developing their minds? See, thinking is really hard work. It's very hard work. Thinking is not easy. Sometimes we tend to think, well, here's a person that works in manual labor. Here's a person that works just by thinking. Oh, which do you think is harder? If you think that this is harder, it's because you've not done a lot of this. Mental work, learning to concentrate, learning to think deeply, learning to understand, that doesn't just happen. We have to train our minds. We have to grow our minds. Jesus increased in wisdom. He developed in this ability of being able to perceive, having wisdom, having understanding. This idea of learning things. I put in your notes there, reading, thinking, and writing. It's an amazing thing to think about that in classical education or in years past. What would they talk about? The three R's, reading, writing, and arithmetic. But they understood, or at least their philosophy was, okay, here's the difference in those things. Why was it the three R's? Well, reading is when you're getting someone else's thoughts. Reading is when you think what someone else thinks. You may not agree with it, but when you read, you are reading what someone else sat down and thought about and wrote it down. So reading is getting their thoughts. What is writing? Writing is thinking. Writing is putting down your own thinking. Arithmetic, you might say, is the thinking, the calculating. But writing is when you're actually putting out your thoughts to make them available to somebody else. I've noticed when I've taught for Virginia Baptist College, it's interesting to me that people don't like to write. I could give somebody a 500-word essay. And one person who, in a classroom setting, I could ask a question, and they would talk for maybe say thousands of words. Yet that same person would be able to have the ability to accept the lie, I can't write. Of course you can. You just did. You just did. You didn't write it down. But of course you can. You may not be able to write as well as someone else. You may not be able to write as well as you would like to. But how do you get better at writing? right. Just right. You know, that's one of the reasons why I do the extra work of providing for you sermon notes. There's very little to write on these notes unless you get creative and write your own stuff. I didn't put a lot of blanks. Last Sunday night, I had two people come up to me. Actually, it was Elsie and Jeff. They both came up to me, and they had those notes, and they said, hey, I didn't get the... And so I had not given it out, or they weren't listening, or something. I don't know whether we gave it out or whatever. But I can't tell you how gratifying it was to me that they had these notes, and they had the blanks filled in. But it wasn't just the blanks filled in. They had stuff written all over the place. And it was like, wow, that is so cool. That's the point. That's it. That's what I'm looking for. That's the idea of, it's not what I'm looking for. It's the idea that, you know, I'm not just here zoned in, zoned out, doesn't make any difference. I am holding myself accountable to listen for things and to write them down. But I'm not satisfied with just listening for the blank and putting the blank in. This is not a word game. You don't get any points if you do or don't use the lecture notes or the sermon notes. You don't get any extra points in your class or anything like that. It's just to help you. But what a blessing if a person goes beyond that and actually starts scribbling other things, some quote, some reference, whatever it might be. You know, that's this idea of reading is thinking other people's thoughts. Thinking is, you know, our own thoughts, and then writing. That's your own specific thoughts. Is it difficult to write? Well, of course it is. What's the difference between writing and talking? Well, you don't have to think to talk. Just open your mouth and let it fly. Right? Yeah, but we are responsible for the words that we say. Right? I mean, come on. Yeah. You say, well, it's easier. Yeah, it's easier because we just kind of let it go. It may be easier. But do we want to really train our children that they should make decisions in life based on whether something is easier? You gotta ask that question. But if you do, you're making a bad decision. Wisdom, mental development disciplines. You know, think about it. When was the last time you learned something? How resistant are you to learning new things? When was the last time you said, you know, there's a challenge. It doesn't, I don't know, learn something you like. I mean, maybe if you like to cook something different. And all the people who eat your cooking said amen. No, I don't know. But what do you like to do? You figure out what you like. You don't have to do what I do. You don't have to do what anybody else does. Just what you do, but learn to do it a different way. You know, we're such creatures of habit, you know. Do you ever drive a different way to the store? Did you ever go out and just say, you know, I'm going to take a walk, and the very first person I see, doesn't matter who they are or where they are, I'm going to walk up to them, and I'm going to engage them in a conversation, and I have a simple goal. I want to get them to smile. You know, that's really number four. But this idea of learning how to do that and learning how to think and to help some people be at ease, it's an amazing thing. If you demonstrate that to your children mentally, we can inspire our children with this idea that life is an adventure, that we are created in the image of God. Now, yes, there are all kinds of spiritual dynamics at work, but I mean, the sky is the limit. You can be quite literally in our country. You have freedom to just blow the lid off. You want to, I mean, let's talk to some of our kids and say, hey, why don't you be a millionaire and give $900,000 a year to the Lord and live on 100. You think God would be okay with that? Somebody's going to have that vision. Why not? Start a business. You don't like what you do? Quit and go get another job. No, get another job and then quit. Get another job and then quit. You know? But you don't have to do that. You don't have to. But somewhere along the line, we're going to have to stop and think and say, okay, where do I want to go with my life? Where do I want to be next week at this time, or next year, or 10 years from now? And stop and think. You say, well, why don't we do that? Because it's really hard work. It's really hard work to just sit down at a desk, at a table, take a legal pad, just start writing. You say, I'm not sure what to write. That's why you just start writing. Don't worry about what you write. Just write. I wonder what Ariel would say about this because she composes. I don't know. Any of you others, if you've ever written. I know this. Don't wait till you know what you're going to say before you write. Put it on paper. There, Elsie's a writer. Well, of course, you're right. It's kind of more compilation, I guess, from what you've said, but still. Yeah, you got to be really careful. You can sit down forever and get this writer's block where you just... Anyway, I don't mean to go off on writing. What would you like to know? You want to explore the Civil War? Boy, you're in the right place. You say, I don't like history. Well, do you like yours? Study your roots. Find out where you came from. Go way back. What do you want to know? You say, I don't have any time. Study time management. You might be able to find some. Yeah. You ever play an instrument? You know? It's amazing how we can just, the ideas we adopt and that we accept many times are just like breaks. We choose them. Nobody forces us to think that way. But we get these defeatist attitudes. I can't do that. Well, maybe you really could. I was thinking about Carol. I don't know how many times I've had people say to me that we were picking on Carol, telling her she should be in the choir tonight. How many of you think Carol should be? No. But let me, I don't mean this personally, but it might be a little challenge. But I'll tell you what. If somebody tells me in private, I can't sing, a lot of times what I'll say to them is, who told you that? It's remarkable how many times they can remember who told them that. They lied to you. They lied to you. Could you imagine a person saying, I can't talk? I mean, singing has been defined as nothing more than slow and sustained speech.
Amazing grace. Amazing grace.
What's the difference? One's more musical. Well, might not be musical the way I did, but you know, you've got those words, you hold them, you get some different pitches. I mean, unless you always talk in a monotone and you never change and you're right at the exact same level and you don't have any pitch in it and you don't go up and you don't go down and you're right there, you wouldn't even listen to somebody talk like that. That's a very extremely rare person. I have never met one in my life, ever. Now, you may not be as dramatic as me. I'm over the top with a lot of that sort of thing. And you know, if you don't want to sing, but anyway, you know, what do you want to learn? Or do you know everything you want? You know, you want to know about the inauguration? You can click on inauguration. You can find out everybody was inaugurated. You know, yeah. Yesterday, I mean, whatever you think about Obama, I mean, tomorrow is going to be the big thing on the Capitol. Today, noon, I saw this picture, an incredible picture of the Blue Room and these huge, regal, what are they called, drapes, I guess, or whatever. But and the president and his wife and the two girls and the Supreme Court, you know, the Chief Justice, John Roberts, is there. And, you know, they did this private little thing at noon, and he was sworn in. They're going to do it again tomorrow, kind of a fake thing, the ritual. I mean, but the real one was today. But whatever. But, you know, I mean, I think the article I read, I believe it said that the oath that he took was anyway, it's the exact same words. You could go back and you could study that. You want to learn about presidents? Learn about presidents. You interested in ladies? Learn about ladies. You could learn. Just develop your mind. Develop. Would you like to learn how to type? How about shorthand? How about you want to learn some computer software? You want to learn to sing? You want to learn to scuba dive? What do you want? I mean, but you want to learn to golf? You want to learn why golfers golf? You know what? I mean, come on. Do you get what I'm saying? Jesus had this hunger. Jesus had this thirst for life, for living, for this incredible gift that God has given to us called a brain, called a mind, the opportunity to explore. How far can I take this thing called a brain? What can I do with my head? You know, I'm trying to get you to dream. If you can't, if you haven't, you're in a straitjacket to help your kids developmentally. See, you know, if you would, when I go through this message, really the thesis behind it is, if you would lift others, you must be on higher ground. That's another thing at the Wilds. They've got that on a poster in their counselor's room. But they just really challenge that we really do recreate, if you will, we duplicate after our kind. You know, we I can't think of the word I'm trying to think of, but you know, we create after our kind. We produce after our kind, yeah, or reproduce after our kind. And that's just not physically, but we reproduce after our kind in that our kids pick up our attitudes and they pick up our thoughts and they pick up our desires. And sometimes as Christians, we make a horrible mistake, I think, because we train our kids that being a Christian is not this, not this, not this, not this, not this, not this, not this. We tell them all the not stuff. Wait, that brain, as we looked at this morning, is fashioned, that child's brain. Just brain. We're not talking about spiritual development. We're not talking about physical disciplines and development. We're not talking about anything social here. Just the mind. That is a gift from God that can be exploded to the... Exploded, that too. Can be exploited to the highest level. And it ought to be for the glory of God. We're going to talk to Jesus one day about what we did with our minds. I mean, wouldn't it be an incredible thing if we got to heaven and found out that, you know, when I was a little kid, somebody told me that I wasn't real smart and I believed them, when in fact I was extremely intelligent? Could that be you? Could it be that you have the ability between your ears to solve some problem that mankind has struggled with since creation? I mean, think about that. You say, well, I'm too old. Come on. Man, I wish I probably should have done some research here, and I could have brought out to you things that have been done by people into their 70s and their 80-year-old, huge musical compositions and scientific and medical discoveries done by people in what many people today in this culture think is all washed up. Don't believe it. Don't buy it. It's a lie. When you're done, God will take you home. Until then, let's press on. So, Jesus increased in wisdom. I need to stop. We have the Lord's Supper tonight, and it's 7 o'clock already, but we'll come back. We'll talk more about this, about stature, and just all kind of, and really, I'm just going to be trying to just really give you ideas. This is a lot of horse sense, common sense, Dan sense, whatever you want to call it, but hopefully it'll be helpful. So, we'll stop there. I would just ask, when the scripture says Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man, do you want that for your children? I passionately wanted this for our kids. We didn't just want our kids to love Jesus. We wanted our children to love life. It's a gift. I'm come that they might have life and that they might have it abundantly. Over the top. I mean, spilling all over, getting all over on everybody. That's what we wanted for our kids, you know. Why not? Why not? Dream and dream. There's an adventure. You know, you want to go climb a mountain? Go climb a cotton picking mountain. You want to run a marathon? You might be able to. I can tell you how to do it. I mean, an old buck like I can do it. You can do it. It might take you 2 years to get there. I'll have to beat you with a whip to get you going. You might say, I don't have any interest in running the marathon. Good, then sip lemonade, I don't care, but find something, you know. Get a goal. Get something you want to learn, something you want to know, something you want to explore, some adventure. You could drive and spend most of the day and drive back at free national museums in Washington, D.C., and you're paying for it. You can go and look at rockets and spaceships and all kinds. I remember one time, and I'm getting off, I'll tell this story and be done. I remember one time homeschooling, we were in Maryland, and we were watching, we were reading, I don't know who was reading, but kids in their school book about, let's see, what's the guy's name? First transatlantic flight, help me. Spirit of St. Louis was his plane. Lindbergh, yeah, thank you, good. And we were reading this story about this. And the kids were kind of like, you know, just like everybody else, kind of a history book. Who cares, you know? And we tried to make that thing live. And I said, would you like to see this plane? They're thinking something history. I said, would you like to see this plane? We took them to the Smithsonian and stood right next to that plane where they could look right in that cockpit. And I said, think about how long he sat there. I don't remember the details. How long he sat there. You know what was in right in front of Charles Lindbergh? You can go and look at it. He's sitting in this tiny little thing. I mean, it is like sitting on a toilet. You okay with that? I mean, we're talking, you think it's tough in planes today. You ain't seen nothing compared to that. And you know what's right in front of him? There's this huge, big gas tank right in front of him. He had no idea where he was going. He had no idea if he had enough. He had no idea what would happen with the rain. He had no idea what would happen with radar. He had no idea what would happen with lights. He had nothing. He just went and said, well, we'll see what happens. Just kept going. And he came down. London, I think. And you don't have to be really bright to stop, just kind of think about that a little bit and say, what in the world kind of a guy does this? He can go right down to the Outer Banks, Kitty Hawk, Charles Wright, go right down there and see where they just jumped off and, yeah, we flew. Why? Because somewhere along the line, these birds looked at birds and said, how do they do that? I want to find out. What do you want to know? What do you want to know? You got to figure out what you want to know. There's so many things to know. You want to know how to invest money? You want to know how to build a house? You want to know the difference between 110 volts and 220 volts or 240 volts? You want to know the difference? You want to know how to learn something. Learn something. Get a hunger. Get a thirst. Develop your mind. Develop your mind. It's God's gift. What we do with our minds has a lot to do with what we believe about our God. Jesus increased in wisdom. That thought, really, if concentrated on, can cause us to think, wow, what a blessing I have a mind. You say, I wish I had developed it. Don't think that. You're not dead yet. Do something with it. Amen. We'll stop. All right, gentlemen, if you would come, please, and we will prepare.